Yeah, this is Willie Terry, a Roman labor correspondent for the Hudson Mohawk magazine. And I'm here at the Troy Public Library today, where they just had a speaker who spoke on the draft riots in Troy in 1863. And his name is Michael P. Barron. And he's executive director for the Hudson Mohawk Industrial Gateway. Hi, how you doing, Mike?
I'm well, thank you. And yourself? Nice to see you again.
All right. So, Mike, since we're talking about the draft riot, what is the draft riot of 1863 that happened in Troy?
Well, the super short version is it's the first military draft of American history, and an awful lot of people were deeply upset that it seemed to be very much favoring the aristocratic element of society rather than the working class. It was not a fair selection of names. You could basically pay your way out of it, and so the amount that it took to buy your way out was a year's salary for a working man. And not too many people have got that kind of money saved up and available to give the government.
Well, that kind of sounds familiar in terms of what happened in the 20th century.
Yes. Those who have it, keep it. Those who don't have it, wish they had it. And, yep.
Now, what was the, what you say was the key reasons why the draft riot happened?
That's kind of hard to say key reason. Largely, it really is that resistant mindset, especially amongst the most recent groups of immigrants that were here. The Irish, of course, fleeing the Great Famine of the 1840s. The Germans, who are fleeing massive oppression from the German states. There wasn't a German nation at that time. And a number of the other groups that had begun coming in. I mean, they're fleeing aristocratic oppression. They come here to what they're told is the land of liberty, and they find that the government is basically saying, you're not free. You don't have a choice in this. We're going to make you go fight a war that you've got nothing to do with. And so that really is the driving force for an awful lot of this. And then once the act itself, the Conscription Act, as it was called, of 1863, once it is enacted and publicized and people realize that there's all these loopholes for the moneyed interests to get out of it, you could buy a substitute to go in your place, or you could just pay the money, or... You heard me tell the joke earlier, or get a doctor to say you had bone spurs. yes. Yeah, topical humor. What can I say? So, I mean, that really is it. And once they started drawing the names, I mean, it's one thing when it's enacted in February of 1863, but then nothing really happens until July. That's when the names are starting to be drawn. And that's when it comes home to people that this is real. You know, they expect me to go serve in the Army for half to a third of what I make as a civilian. And if I'm killed, I mean, they don't care.
Now, you talked a little bit about Irish and the immigrants coming from Ireland. So the Irish played an instrumental part in these draft riots?
Yeah, most assured, especially in New York City, although there's a very large Irish contingent in the rioters, known rioters of the Troy riots, and in Boston as well. The Ohio riots, Akron, Toledo, I'm really not sure what the ethnicity of those people were, although I do know there's Germans out there, so that could be, but that's sheer speculation on my part. But in New York City in particular, the Five Points area of New York, which was an Irish Catholic slum, right. And that's the scene of an awful lot of the early rioting right in that area, or crowds that are moving out of that area. And from what we know of the Troy rioters, yes, the Irish Catholics are a very large part of what we had going here, but largely that's because they were the last major wave of immigration. There's Germans here as well, because they're kind of contemporary, the Germans and the Irish coming here, but we had a lot of Irish because there's an awful lot of iron jobs that are unskilled. So, you know, brawn and muscle gets you a job where you don't have to necessarily have education or friends or family ties. There's work to be done here. So.
So when you, in your lecture that you was talking about the draft riot, the riots, what happened is they was kind of targeting certain groups or institutions. And what were those groups and institutions that they were targeting?
Well, it's not that they were necessarily targeting the aristocracy as much as they were targeting any group or person that was considered to be pro-war. Mm-hmm. So if you're running a little mom and pop grocery store, but you're known to be pro-war, you may very well have been looted when the crowd passed your store. If you were anti-war, you were probably pretty safe. As I mentioned with the two newspapers, side by side, the one that's pro-war is sacked, and the anti-war newspaper right next door is completely unmolested. So they were going after a lot of the prominent citizens, but the prominent citizens also tended to be pro-war. So it wasn't necessarily that they're chasing after the one percenters because they have money. It's the fact that they're chasing after them because they're pro-war. So, and then once the evening comes and darkness falls, then I think it just became wholesale criminal activity. I mean, nobody was paying attention to the political leanings of the guy who owns a warehouse on River Street. They're just breaking in and stealing. And, oh, well, somebody's going to set fire to it? No, so much. Right. But during the actual political day, the riot, the people who suffered the most, excepting the blacks, who were terrorized and forced out of the city, they're the pro-war people. Mm-hmm. And the blacks, of course, it's because we all know that they started this.
Yeah. So that was the kind of sense.
There's, well, yes.
That the blacks had started. Because I, you know, amazed what you're saying and how they burned, lynched and beat up, you know, black people during this time. And these wasn't the slaves. I mean, most of here was it a free black.
In New York City, most of the blacks that are known to have been murdered during the riots were actually free people. Had never been or had been freed when New York State abolished slavery in 1827. But they were free people. You know, these are not because, there were no slave coachmen getting dragged off coaches. These are people who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And Lincoln has made the war now about slavery and the abolition of slavery. So the blacks are going to be scapegoated.
And what about the question of jobs? Because you mentioned something about blacks coming up, taking their
there's
jobs.
There's an awful lot of that. I mentioned that in the lecture, that the Irish Catholics and the blacks during this whole period, the 1850s, 60s, 70s, they're fighting for the low-level jobs in the economic scheme of things. Because the Irish are considered to be the lowest rung of European society. So now they're over here, they're the lowest rung, and of course they need somebody below them, and that's going to be the blacks. And the people who have the ability to offer jobs recognize that if they can get a black man to work for 80% of what they have to pay an Irish Catholic, well, you know, they're going to do that. And that's going to make the Irish Catholics quite angry. So they play them off of each other. If you read your economic history of that period, I mean, there was an awful lot of very deliberate driving of the antagonism between those two groups because it's good for the aristocracy. You know, if they're fighting each other, if they're hurting each other, then they're not coming after us. And if we can actually use their ability to desperately need money to lower the pay scale that I've got to offer, that's really gravy for this. And that's an awful lot of what it was. And that really continued, I mean, around here, especially in the railroad industry, right into the 1930s. My great-grandfather worked for the Delaware and Hudson River, or the railroad, excuse me. And I mean, he was notoriously anti-black because he was fighting every day to keep his job because somebody was going to underbid him.